Hey guys, and welcome to the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, presented by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. The first podcast to bring you the local fishing report for Alabama's lakes and rivers, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. I'm your host, Nick Williams, and this week's show is brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Are you frustrated by your typical hunting and fishing magazines? Are you tired of reading content meant for guys up north or in the Midwest? Don't get left behind following the guidance of guys who don't hunt and fish in your home state. Pick up a Great Days Outdoors magazine subscription and become a better Southern outdoorsman. Great Days Outdoors magazine can be found at your local Books A Million, Tractor Supply Company, Rural King, or you can save and buy online at greatdaysoutdoors.com. Hey folks, got a quick announcement. AFTCO has a new promotion for all Great Days Outdoors Podcast Network listeners. They are now offering a camo sunglasses cleaner cloth with any purchase of AFTCO products. We've become very fond of their hooded sun protection shirts as well as their Seiko fluorocarbon here at Great Days Outdoors. All that you have to do to get your coupon code is text ALFFR to 779-345-2918. Again, just text ALFFR, that's Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, to 779-345-2918. Subscribe to our email list and we'll send you the promo code via email. Alrighty guys, welcome back to another week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report. Hope everybody had a good holiday, good new year. My New Year's resolution's off to a good start. I've been trying to diet a little bit and exercise, and so far I ain't falling off the bandwagon, but we're 8 days into it, so keep that in mind. We're here with Jason Whitehead today to hear the report from up on the Tennessee River, and I can already know where this conversation is going because I'm going to the Tennessee River this weekend for a duck hunt outside of Decatur, and I'm going to pack every stitch of clothing that I got. So you staying warm up there, Jason?
For now, you better dress and pack warm this weekend, buddy. I've seen three different forecasts the last couple of days, so I don't really know what to anticipate, but it's coming.
I have seen everything. It seems like at this point it's about guaranteed to get some snow, and I've seen forecasts for everywhere from 2 inches to 8 inches. And yep. I told the guy I'm going with, 2 inches of snow I'll drive in. 8 inches, I'm not saying I can't drive in it. I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying I know most people in Alabama, I don't want to be on the road with them at 8 inches of snow. Like,
right. Well, there's so many back roads up here. Like, they do a good job even last year because, you know, we had those below zero temperatures and all iced in and everything. They did a good job of the main roads. But some of those back roads, man, it took it a week or two after just to thaw out. So, good thing is they're not predicting as cold as what we had it last year. So hopefully it'll just come on through, do its thing, and move back out, and we won't get iced in again like we did last year.
Well, that's good, because I know last year I had a friend of mine up there in Huntsville, and he was sending me videos of him out there on a pair of ice skates trying to teach his wife how to play hockey.
Believe it. We did it for a week. I mean, I was stuck inside. I went through all my tackle, went through and redid all my rods, line, reorganized everything after day two, day three and four. I was ready to get out there.
You know, I think we did about this time last year. I think I had you on and we kind of talked about that, talked about your overall tackle organization strategies and what to do in the downtime. Have you been mostly this year? Has it been keeping you in kind of the preparatory stages, or have you been getting any fishing in?
Oh, no, man. We've been fishing almost every single day. It's been a fairly mild winter so far up until this week, which I'm looking forward to the cooler weather to kind of put the fish, bass and crappie, kind of where they need to be, because it seems like everything's a little bit behind schedule. But, yeah, with the mild weather, I've had a lot of clients still booking trips. I've done a ton of electronic trips. You know how the Black Friday goes and people buying electronics and getting those installed and set up. So I've done a lot of on-the-water electronic training. So it's been good.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. I got a trip in over Christmas. And like you said, it's been a really mild winter. Like it surprised me how much activity I got into. And which is good, because duck season has been terrible. Deer season's been weird. It's like you said, everything seems behind schedule, but the fishing has been good. And the reports I'm getting from the local guys, like I know a lot of guys who are hitting the water, everybody from the big reservoir bass and crappie guys to the folks, you know, fly fishing in the little backwater streams and stuff like that. So What's been the key to success for you?
Recently, we've been catching a lot. Well, bass-wise, they're not. The water temperature is finally getting down in the 40s. We were running anywhere from 49 up to 53, 54 degrees, which is extremely warm. So what we did was the bass aren't out super deep or out there on the main river where they tend to get in the dead of winter and in the creeks and that type of stuff. So what we did with the little warmer water is we started targeting almost pre-spawn type areas, secondary points and humps and grass lines and stuff like that. And that's just where those fish were. They made it out so far. And with the bait fish, that's been the biggest thing. The last 2 months, if you could find the bait fish, and I don't mean those little, you know, thread fin that are 1.5, 2 inches long. I mean, those 3, 4, 5 inch thread fin or the big gizzard shad, you're going to catch some bass.
So with that being said, find the bait, find the fish. Where's been the best places to catch
Exactly.
bait holding?
On those secondary points, about halfway back in the creek, almost like pre-spawn type areas, like after winter when those fish start to push, when the water starts warming and those fish start to push back in the creeks and back in their spawning areas and stuff, we've been targeting very similar areas. So what we'll do is we'll go across with either down scan, side scan, or both, and just basically look for that bait fish. Now, the bass have been on the edge of the grass line. So there's some days where they're just off the grass where you can actually see them, but most of the time they're tucked up there just on the edge of that grass. So if you can scan across the edge, you start seeing some balls of bait, time to drop the trolling motor. And as far as baits go, we've been catching them quite a few recently on a lipless, quite a few on a DT6, and then there's a new... Well, fairly new. It came out last year. Sixth Sense makes a 300 DD, really tight action crankbait, dives to 10 or 12 foot. It's been working really well. And then the jerkbait.
Nice. So are you, you're finding the bait and then basically you're hitting the grass near where you're finding the bait and that you're saying they're kind of hit up in the vegetation where you may not necessarily see them
Correct.
On sonar. You're just trusting that they're there.
Correct, right on the edge. And that you could, man, some of these points will be loaded one day. And then with the, we've had some rain. And what the water's been doing, the water fluctuates. So the water come up, those bait fish tend to go up with it. When the water drops down, that bait typically slides back. But they also move in and out of the creeks as well, based off of if there's a cold front or if it gets warmer or, you know, just every condition change every single day. So you may crack them on one point, then a grass point on the edge, you know, 10 to 12 foot of water, and you're throwing to about 6 to 8 and crack them one day, go back, and they're gone. There, you can't even get a bite there. So that's why I say to utilize what electronics that you have and just start rolling, because they may have shifted, you know, overnight or the conditions change, and they may be a couple hundred yards from where they are. And these schools are big. I mean, they're not... I'm not talking about 1, 2, or 3 fish. There's probably 20, 30, 40 fish stacked up together.
Gotcha. So if you're fishing it and you're not catching anything, don't stick it out. Just stick and move. And if they're there, you'll know.
Yeah, just keep rolling. Yep, keep rolling.
I like it. You mentioned that it was kind of, it was looking like more, you know, that kind of early spawn, like when they're starting to kind of stage up. I'm guessing that has to do with the water temperatures being warmer, but with the water temperatures dropping, do you expect that pattern is going to change any?
I think they'll suck down into the grass. So like the last couple of days, I'm actually headed out tomorrow. And my plan is tomorrow. I think it takes a lot longer for the fish to adjust to those changing conditions when the water temperature drops, right? I mean, it takes a couple of days of it being really cold before that water temperature really plummets. So although it's cold for us and we go from 50 degree highs to a 30 degree high, it takes longer for that water to drop. So I don't see it being as big of a deal, especially on Gunnersville, because we don't have a whole lot of really deep water. It's not like a Smith Lake or some of the deeper reservoirs and stuff. So from what I've seen, yes, some of those fish that are around those creek channels, they'll go ahead and make their way into the creek channels, go out there to that deeper water. But most of those fish, when they're in those areas, they're going to suck up in that grass. The grass works almost like insulation. You know, it's no different than than when you fish a highland reservoir and you have brush piles, a cold front hits, that's where those fish go. They typically go under the docks and the laydowns, the brush piles, and they utilize that the same on Gunnersville. They just go to the grass.
Yeah, that was something that I've noticed in the past. So last year I was up there, stayed at a friend's place that was there on the lake, and it was shallow and it was grassy, and I got into a pretty good stock of bluegill and a few bass that were hitting nymphs in the pockets in that grass, and it really surprised me because it was cold, hurt you cold, 20, 30 degrees, and it wasn't 4 feet of water. But it hadn't rained and the water was clear, and I just walked off the end of his dock and kind of gave it a casual glance. And I mean, you're probably looking at 100 bluegill just tucked up in that grass. And like you said, I think people forget that, that grass is alive, it's doing its thing, and it actually generates a little heat. They say it's the same thing on land, like vegetation, trees actually do generate a little bit of heat in the winter. Particularly if they're not dormant and brown, any green vegetation will generate a lot of heat. And I was really surprised how many fish I got into with it that cold and with it being that shallow. Well,
Yep, 100%.
what are you thinking this weekend? Are you gonna go out there and brave it if it dips into the snow and the ice, or are you gonna stay home and organize your tackle box?
No, man. We went ahead. I actually was on the client phone call earlier before I jumped on with you, kind of weighing over some options to reschedule a trip for Saturday. And as bad as I want to go, and as bad as they want to go, I mean, it just, with not knowing, we're kind of gonna. We pretty much said, hey, let's touch base early morning on Saturday and kind of see what it's looking, how bad it actually gets. So we may end up getting out there Saturday afternoon. Sunday, I'll definitely be out on Sunday. Friday, we don't have anything going on. But yeah, we're just going to kind of see what this weather does and get out there.
Well, fingers crossed from what I'm looking at, they're saying that it's going to hit Friday, and hopefully whatever does fall will be mostly melted by Saturday and Sunday, and it'll kind of calm down and stabilize. So I'll be up there on the Tennessee duck hunting, and we always hope for a little bit of a cold front, but I definitely not interested in sitting out there if we get some of the snow that I've seen projected. So here's to hoping
Yeah, I
that
don't
it
blame you a bit.
calms down.
For
Absolutely.
sure.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, it's always a pleasure. If folks want to reach out to you, I know it's cold right now. It's hard to imagine, but it'll be hot before you know it. It'll be time to get out there and hit it. If folks want to book a trip, where's a good place to look you up?
I'm on Facebook, all the search engines, Google, Yelp, Bing, Apple Maps. I mean, if you jump on Google and just look up Alabama Elite Fishing Guy, I'll populate there. I post way more on Facebook. And for people that are listening, that's why I've been running so many electronic trips. So yes, it's cold, but get your stuff tuned, get it all prepared, have it all ready to go. And if you do run into any form of a wiring issue or something we got to adjust or something we got, that gives us enough time before, especially before tournament season cranks up. You got the ABT 100 next week, you got BFLs that start in February. So go ahead and get ahead of the ball, and we can go out and set up all your graphs, tune everything in. That only takes a couple hours, and then you're ready to go for the year.
Definitely good advice. I know that's always something. We actually just wrote a whole article about that, about the importance of doing your boat maintenance and getting your sonar ready before those first few warm days send everybody scrambling. Because once that happens, it's too
Correct.
late and you're going to be last on the list.
Yes, sir.
Well, Jason, I appreciate it. And like I said, stay warm this weekend. Be safe out there.
You too, buddy. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. And we're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by Fish Bites. Whether you're hitting the sand with set rigs, using traditional scent strips for pompano, or fishing the flats and marshes for speckled trout, redfish, and flounder, Fish Bites has something for you. Family-owned and operated in St. Augustine, Florida, they pride themselves on making reliably consistent fishing products for anglers of all ages all around the world. Fish Bites baits and lures are made with pride in the Sunshine State here in USA. Check out the full line of scented saltwater and freshwater baits at fishbites.com. Alrighty, guys, welcome back. This time we got Justin Dunham reporting in from down here on the Mobile Tensaw Delta. Justin is our local kayak angling expert. Justin, what you been up to? Did y'all have a good holiday?
Yes, sir. Had a pretty good holiday. I was off work for a couple weeks, so just went back January the 6th. that's a little bit sad, but I got a lot of fishing done the last 2 weeks.
I heard that. I wouldn't say I got a lot done, but I did squeeze a trip in, and it was actually looked like the thing that would be right up your alley. I ended up in a little creek up in North Baldwin in this place. I've looked at it for years, and it looks good on paper, and there's two roughly 10-mile stretches, and I hit a 10-mile stretch, and it was smooth sailing. Caught fish, had the whole place to myself, and I was just thinking, man, like you see a place like that, and you don't want to share it with the whole world, but you want to take a few friends, and I was thinking, you know, I know somebody who'd like to make that float.
Yeah, if it was 10 miles with not much log jams, it sounds pretty good.
I know, right? That's hard to find in this neck of the woods. I know I got I still have PTSD, man, a buddy from a trip that we tried to do. We were going to do smart and take out. It was technically the first put in on the Perdido Trail, and that turned into an ordeal. I thought I was looking at it on paper saying, well, we should be able to make that in 3 hours, but we'll start at daybreak and we'll have all day. And we knew we was in trouble about lunch. We were like, yeah, we're not gonna finish this before dark. So well, talk to me a little bit. I've been seeing all kind of pictures on Facebook. Looks like you've been getting into everything from bass to redfish to crappie. What's the word down here on the coast?
Yes, sir. So for one of my Christmas gifts was a Florida fishing license. I've been going towards that Pensacola, Milton, Florida way, trying to see what's over there. And I will say the water is very clear. So if you don't get it done early, once that sun comes up, I think they can see you pretty good and they don't bite anymore. So it's been pretty tough as far as that goes in Florida. I can catch specks and a couple redfish, but once the sun comes up, that shuts down. But after that big rain we had last week, December 30th, my dad and I went out to a little oxbow lake off the Tensaw River. And we thought the water might be kind of high, but it actually wasn't. I think the water was low prior to that big rain that we had. And I think that rain kind of just made the water about right. And we paddled back in there, and I got my limit of white perch, crappie, and he caught some pretty good ones. Like his were bigger than mine, but I caught more. But I mean, it was every cast for a while.
That's awesome, man. I know that place that you was talking about. We was talking at some before we got on air in the pregame warm up, and that's one of my favorite little floats. It's not that far out the way, but you know, it just feels like a different world. You know, it feels way more remote than it really is once you get back in there. And I've had good days chasing bowfin, bass. I've never really got on a bunch of perch. I've never really caught crappie up in there, but I can't say I've ever tried super hard.
Yeah, they were off of the treetops a little bit. So, you know, 10 to 15 foot off the treetops, and it's not terribly deep in those oxbows.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the maximum depth is like 7 foot. And they were holding close to the bottom, but you just throw out there, let it sink down a little bit, keep catching on your line, and the water temps were kind of low. So they weren't quick to bite, but if you just held tension on that line and shook your jig back and forth, they would hit it pretty near every cast.
Man, that sounds like a lot of fun. Any particular color that was doing real good with y'all?
So I was using the Z-Man Shad Fries. It's a bait that's a little over an inch long. It's like a baby paddle tail. And I was using the Electric Chicken color, so pink and chartreuse. And I was also using, I want to say they call it Fire Truce in Z-Man. But I can't remember the name of it in other bait companies. It's Orange Crush, I think, might be the name of it in, you know, other bait companies around. But I was using a 1/32 ounce jig head, so a really light jig head, so it would fall really slowly.
I got you. Yeah, man, those little Z-Man, the baby shad or shad Z or however you call them, like in that color, the Electric Chicken, I can tell you, in the early spring, like that's one of my favorite. If they're kind of scattered like that on a little 1/32 or 1/16 roadrunner is that's my be all end all, just as far as fun to fish, because I've caught good crappie on it before, and then you never know, I've had bass hit it. So that's a tough little bait is what I like about them.
Oh yeah, they're very tough, and those Z-Man hooks, I kind of like them. There's some inconsistency with it, whether they're light wire or not. Some of them, I guess, I'll snag something up and I'll pull the jig head, the hook will straighten, and I'll get it back. And some of them, the hook will just break off at the shank. So I'm not too sure that I'm 100% sold on those jig heads, but I do like the soft ones for sure. That Elastec, very tough, holds up pretty well.
My only complaints with it is if you mix it with other plastics, it creates quite the science experiment. And I've never played, I don't think, with any of their crappie jig heads, but I've played with some of their like Ned Rig heads and stuff like that. And yeah, I've been really happy with everything I've bought from them so far.
Oh yeah, the Ned Rig works great, and that works really good in salt water too. If you haven't tried it there over on the inshore side, those Z-Man Ned Rig baits, you just throw them out and give them some little slow hops, and you can catch everything from bass, which is what they're intended for, to flounder, to fish. You even get some good speckled trout from time to time.
I'd never really thought about it for flounder. I've always used them for bass, but I can definitely, as soon as you said inshore, I was like, oh yeah, I bet that'd be a real good flounder bait. Like I can see that. I can see hopping that down there, just a little finesse something crawling along the bottom. You talk about inshore. I noticed over the break you was getting in some redfish. How'd that go?
Well, so I haven't found a bunch of redfish schooled up. I've just been catching singles, but over there in Florida, water's a little bit more clear. I've kind of just been right there at daybreak. You'll see them, busting on bait there at the surface, and you just kind of throw to them with the water and twitch that thing a few times, and then boom, they blow up on it. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. A red fish out of a kayak, that's something I've only ever done once before, and I need to do it again. I've just there's so much fun stuff to do here in the state of Alabama that you got to prioritize something, and something falls to the bottom of the list. But yeah, man, red fish out of a kayak is, if you haven't tried it, don't, if you're happy with your current hobbies.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, they're always a blast. I'm trying to get those speckled trout figured out too. I'm not a speckled trout fisherman. I wish I was a little better, but I can catch them on top water right there at daybreak. It doesn't matter how cold it is. It seems like they'll always hit a top water. But then once the sun comes up, I'm still looking for them. So if anybody knows how to do better on that, I'd love to hear it.
I need to, all things inshore, I need to play with more. I moved up here on the river swamp and kind of got away from that, but I've been eyeballing it. I'd like to get back to my roots. We used to do a lot of pier fishing and surf fishing and inshore fishing. And yeah, my boss over there, Butch, over at the Alabama Saltwater Fishing Report, man, he's been posting some pictures over the past year of them going out there and wade fishing for specks. And that's something I get the feeling that he has nailed down pretty tight on how to do it, and that's on my list of things to learn, man. It looks like a blast, especially catching them top water like that. Like, top water's always more fun.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I've been seeing some good pictures of snook around here. That's kind of a rare one for this area. But one guy, he caught one slam in Mississippi, but they've been catching a lot of them on the eastern shore, from what I can tell.
Yeah, that's what I've heard is a lot of the guys like Chris Vache and people like that, they've been hammering them. And then I heard so they were ranging further north. They're supposed to be a little bit further south, and they started coming north. And now I think I was just scrolling through Facebook this afternoon on my lunch break, and they're trying to get people to help them with some data on cold-killed snook, because apparently they're forecasting that this cold snap that we're finally getting is supposed to kill a bunch of them, and they're trying to get some genetic information. So that's a little fishery that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I know that's not maybe directly relevant to a lot of our freshwater guys, but if you enjoy coming down here for your holidays, I know that's something we talk about a lot, is that, the bass guys will come down here with their wives and their families, and they'll do the inshore saltwater thing. And that's a new little fishery that may be something cool here for the next few years.
Oh yeah, especially if the water, keeps gradually warming up as it goes. I think we'll just get more and more of them. And I've never caught one, but they look very similar to a bass. I could imagine that kind of stuff would work for them as well.
Yeah, that's another thing that I need to get with somebody with and learn more about. I feel pretty comfortable on the freshwater side of things, but saltwater, it's been so long, and it's one of those things. I used to do it with people when I was younger, and people took me. And there's a big difference between somebody taking you on a trip and you doing it yourself, as far as the amount of information that you retain.
Right.
So I never knew that much about it, and I've forgotten most of what I knew. But I would love to have that in my skill set, and I'd especially love to be able to teach it to my daughter as she gets a little bit older. But You talk about the water warming up. That's been something that we've talked about off and on through the show throughout the winter, is that it's been a really mild, really strange winter in a lot of ways, and we're finally getting this cold snap. What in your mind, what do you think fishing is going to look like this weekend? You think that cold snap will slow it down? Or we just talked with Jason and he said that he didn't think it was going to stick around long enough to really lower the water temperature and change anything much. What's your take on that?
Yeah, the air temp is kind of cool. It's in the high 20s down here on the Gulf Coast, but I don't think the water temp's really going to get below. If I was fishing this weekend, it's supposed to rain around here Friday pretty good, but it's not going to be a freezing rain. So I think that rain's going to raise the water up a little bit, at least locally. And I think that's going to turn the bite on myself. When that water gets up and that tide starts pulling it right back out, I think it's going to be a good bite. So I don't think that cold is going to affect it at all.
Well, that's good to hear. That is good to hear. Tell me a little bit too. I know we're coming up on the new calendar year. What's the schedule looking like? We got big things planned for the kayak tournaments down here on the coast.
Yes, sir. So you've got two main clubs here on the Gulf Coast. So you have Mobtown Kayak Bass Fishing. That's going to be the bass fishing side of things. They're going to be hosting one tournament per month starting in January. I believe that goes all the way through October. So last year I was heading that up, but my brother's taking it over this year, and they've moved their tournaments from the fourth weekend of the month to the third weekend of the month. So that will fall next Saturday. I forget the numerical date there, but third Saturday of the month. And that first tournament will be at Fowl River, launched out of Memories Fish Camp. That's a pretty good launch. So if you're into bass fishing side of things, that's definitely one to go to. And if you're more into the saltwater side of things, you have the MBKFA, the Mobile Bay Kayak Fishing Association. They've been around for many years, and their tournaments don't start up until March, I believe, of this year. But they have fish outs every month. Fish outs are like a meet and greet, and the tournaments are more competition based. So both of those are going to be good options. So you can get in either one, or you can get in both clubs. I personally play around with both clubs myself.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time. The little bit of fishing I did last year in the tournaments, it left me wanting to do more. I did not come on as strong as I hoped that I would. The pregame fishing was a lot better than the stuff the day of the tournaments when I fished. But I had a good time and I met some good people and had some fun, had some good food and enjoyed it overall. Looking forward to getting back into it for sure. Well, Justin, it's always good to hear from you. Good to hear that exciting things are planned. Good to hear that even though the weather's been cold, the fishing's been hot. It's always good to get a report from you. If people want to keep up with those kayak fishing groups, where's the best place to find information?
So these days, Facebook is probably the best for the groups. So both MBKFA and Mobtown both have Facebook pages, and you can find those, by the respective names. So MBKFA Facebook page and Mobtown Kayak Bass Fishing Facebook page. And if you want to follow what I do, I have a YouTube channel. You can check that out at 8 Mile Drifter on YouTube. And I kind of bounce back and forth between just playing around tournament fishing.
And guys, I'll tell you, as somebody who makes outdoor content, you get to a certain point where some days the last thing you want to do after making the content is watch and listen to and read the content. Sometimes you need a break. But I will say this, Justin's
Right.
YouTube channel is one of my favorites because he's very to the point. Like it's just fishing. Like it's not 10 minutes of rambling and then 2 minutes of fishing and the same fish. Catching it and playing in slow-mo over and over again, like it's a very humbling experience for me to watch Justin fish because man, he catches some fish and he really does a good job showcasing not just the fish that we have down here and talking through some of his techniques a little bit, but man, just some of the shots, like you look at that water and it's almost like you're out there with him. Like it honestly fires me up to go fishing when I sit there and I watch a 8 Mile Drifter video in the evening. So if y'all haven't seen his YouTube channel, if y'all are into that, if y'all enjoy fishing content, especially local stuff, y'all go check him out. Justin, as always, it's a pleasure having you on the show.
Sure. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate that compliment too.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode has been brought to you by Killer Doc, most fishermen clean their fish on something like an unsightly old wooden table or the top of a cooler, somewhere that's not comfortable, not sanitary, and not attractive. Killer Doc makes the greatest fish cleaning stations known to mankind. They are built from marine-grade aluminum and ceramic-coated to protect them from the harsh salt environment. Killer Doc makes tables and canopies at several different sizes, so whatever you need on your dock, deck, or patio, they have a fish cleaning station for you. Check out killerdoc.com to see more. Southeastern Pond Management. Since 1989, Southeastern Pond Management has been a leader in pond and lake management services. If you own a pond or lake anywhere in the Southeast, Southeastern Pond Management can evaluate the health of your pond and then work with you individually to put together the right plan to get what you want out of your body of water. Through electrofishing, liming, fertilizing, and stocking and weed control, Southeastern Pond Management is the one-stop shop to help you produce more healthy trophy fish than ever before. Schedule an obligation-free consultation today. Call 1-888-830-POND or email info@southeastpond.com. All righty, guys. Next up, we got the man, the myth, the legend. We got Dip McMillan with Dippy Outdoors. Dip, how you doing today, sir?
Doing pretty good, Nick. How about you, buddy?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I won't lie, cold weather makes me frisky. My trail cameras are out in the woods right now on the Delta, and I'm seeing good things, Dip. I'm starting to see some big ones. I got deer big enough now that the handful of people out there that see the stuff I post on Facebook, I just tell you there hits a certain point where I don't post that deer on Facebook. And I got three that I ain't posting on Facebook. So hopefully in the next week or two, we're going to have a date and we're going to, I'm going to get a little bit closer look at them. So, but I've been keeping up with some of the stuff that you've been doing on Dippy Outdoors, man. Speaking of shooting deer, it looks like them kids is rough on them this time of the year. Looks like you're putting them on them.
Man, it's been on fire, man. I'm just blessed to do what we've been doing at Dippy Outdoors, man. The families and the parents been reaching out to me to get these kids on their first deer. They don't have the opportunity or a hunting club or lease land or public land to go to, and they reached out to us. And I am blessed to have a few guys, and one of them named Dwayne Smith in Locksley. Me and him like best friends, and we got this place in Locksley just unbelievable, man. And I also take people to my personal place in Marengo County. We got right at 1,500 acres up there, too. But people in Baldwin County, man, I mean, I just like to hunt close around here, and just in case we don't harvest one that morning, we can go back that evening, too. And it's 5-10 minutes from the house. But, man, it's been on fire, Nick. These kids is making incredible shots, man, and being patient. It's been cold, man. This past Saturday was extremely cold, man. And I never get cold, and I was freezing. But we stick with it, man. The deer start moving right at 8 o'clock, which is kind of late for this particular area. But I told the little girl, just be patient. They come. And, man, it was like clockwork. 8 o'clock, the food plot covered up with deer. And I coached her through it. She made an incredible shot, man. Got her first doe.
Man, that's awesome. I love that. That's something that I've been trying to do more the past couple of years is take kids hunting. And the enthusiasm is contagious. We took a kid duck hunting this year, me and a buddy of mine, and we felt bad. We were worried that maybe we hadn't given him a good introduction because it was just ducks have been kind of slow this year. And we had some fly over. He at the end of the day, he just didn't end up shooting any. And we were kind of like, well, you know, I hope we didn't bore him and make him tired and get him too cold and everything. And then his mom was telling my buddy that he spent 2 straight hours talking about the hunt and how they got to just go walk through the woods in the dark. And he got to play in the swamp and he got to blow the duck call. Like he man, had a blast, you know, talked about it for a week after that. And, That's the type of thing that'll make you look at what you do. It'll make you look at hunting and fishing in a new way when you get a kid out there doing it. So that's awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
That's awesome. Y'all still got a few more hunts planned for this year? Y'all got some more scheduled?
Well, we went on a hunt Friday in my place in Marengo County and took a little girl up there. She missed one, and I told her we're not going to give up. So here in the next week or so, we're going to try to give it another shot. Then also I'm taking my little girl too. She ain't shot one yet this year and she's been on me, but she knew that the kids that haven't harvested one, she know the routine we do at Dippy Outdoors. And I got to say, she's a trooper for it. And she know that I'm going to take her at the end of the season. So we're going to have a probably good week to ourselves up there, having a good time with her. So I got about two or three more kids. And like I said, man, I am blessed to have these parents reach out to us and getting these kids on the first deer. And I'm thrilled about it. And that pumped me up so much, Nick. Man, I care less to shoot one myself. I just love to see the smile on these kids' face.
Yeah, you know, there's a few years ago, I'd have said, yeah, I'm not all about that. I'd rather shoot one myself. And then you start taking them out there. You start taking other people. And I read a really good article years ago about the life cycle of a sportsman. And, you know, how first you just want to shoot a deer or catch a fish, and then you want more and bigger. And you kind of get the ego thing going, and you want to prove that you really know what you're doing and that you're real good at it, you know, and you want other people to know that you're good at it. And then you kind of, you know, lose the charm, and some people start trying to make it harder. They'll start bow hunting or they'll start fly fishing or whatever. And then you just wake up one day and you're like, you know, I've kind of done it, and I just want to see somebody else do it. Like, I just want to show somebody else. I want to put somebody on a gobbling turkey. Or let a kid watch that court go under. And that's what I want to do. Like, I don't care if I shoot any more myself. I just want somebody else to do it like I've done it.
Man, that's awesome, Nick, man. You just like myself, man. That's incredible. We need more people like us, man, to keep this future going with these kids, man. I appreciate you, buddy.
Well, we definitely appreciate the work that you do. And but talking about fishing, so I know I haven't been out a lot, but as deer season starts to kind of wrap up, I start thinking about it more. And last year I started doing some fishing in January and was chasing crappie, but I'd be curious to know your thoughts, cause I know you keep real detailed notes on it. So what do you think's next? I know we got a weird winter. It's been real mild, and then all of a sudden it's got real cold. But it won't be long at all before we're either going to get the winter flood or it's just going to transition to spring. I mean, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, particularly what the crop you're going to start doing over the next couple of weeks. And then I'd be curious to see. Like, I don't know if you've got it in your notes, but do you think it's possible that we'll skip that big flood this year? Because it hasn't showed up yet.
It's too early right now to say we're going to skip it, because 9 out of 10, the last few years, Nick, we may not get a long flood, but we're going to get some hot water. I'd be very surprised if we don't. That may come late. One year it came like in March or April, but I can't count that out, man. Every time I let my guard down, it hit us with a flood. But, speaking of notes, though, man, that was a spot on. I had a memory, and I looked at my notes, too, came up today, today from last year, man. This particular day, I was hammering a crappie, man. I'm talking about big crappie in the Lower Tensaw, one of my main lakes, man. And I was hammering them. There was an 18, 20 foot of water suspended. And when I say the screen was covered, just every throw on a dippy tensaw jig, a June bug. I mean, I was fishing with, in my notes, I was fishing with three to four different baits, including a gray ghost hair jig, too. And I was just hammering them, man. And I seen the pictures too on Facebook today on my memory, man. It was just some absolute hammer donkeys, man. That's what I call them. They was huge crappie. And I know exactly where I was. And I encourage everybody too, man. When you get on fish like that, or write the water temperature down, right where you was, what the tide was doing, what month it was. All that stuff, man, plays an effect, and I'm telling you, 9 out of 10, it's going to happen in that area, the same thing the following year. It never fails. I keep notes, man. Notes is my biggest thing to lead me to success. I love keeping good notes. And the water temperature right now should be in the lower 50s. It's been cold. Last year during this time, it was cold. And I guarantee you, those fish are staged up now in suspended water. When you find them, they're going to be thick.
Man, I always love hearing you and a couple other guys on here talk about notes. And it's funny that you mentioned the Facebook memories and looking back through Facebook pictures, because I did start doing that. I've got to the point where I'll go back and I'll look and see what I was doing this time last year to see. And it helps, you know, to look back and be like, well, yeah, like I know where I took that picture, and yeah, I remember that day, and like I went back there and I had a good day and I caught some bass, and I'll go back and I'll try to do that again this weekend. And but I really need to get more disciplined, man. You'd think as an outdoor writer, you'd think I'd write about the stuff I do outdoors and keep a journal, but I guess I'll have to add that to my New Year's resolutions, because I'm just the worst about it. Like I go out and I have fun and I have so much fun, but by the time I get back, I ain't good for nothing but to eat dinner and collapse and try to make it to work on time again the next day. But that's, you know, that's cool that you can look back and know, not, you know, you've done it for long enough that you're not sitting there thinking, well, maybe I could do this, maybe I could do this. Like you can just look back at the past 2 or 3 years and be like, well, this is where I caught them. Like, we're gonna go see if we can make lightning strike twice. Like
Absolutely.
that's putting in work on the front end and making your life easier down the road.
No doubt. No doubt. It taught me a lot, man. And I'm a firm believer of keeping good notes.
Absolutely. Well, what do you think, assuming that things progress relatively normal? And I think we've covered this in the past before, but for new podcast listeners, folks who's new to the area, I know there's constantly people moving down here to Baldwin County, and we're a little different, I think, than some of the other parts of the country as far as our spawn timing. But when do you think we'll start getting into that kind of pre-spawn spawn period here?
Like you said earlier, if the river don't rise or get that cold weather, then now we're about to be, they said tonight we might be in the teens. We can get that down to the 40s and 50s here and there, it'll be like normal. I'm thinking mid-March, late March. And I usually start catching fish in probably about 10 foot of water. I never forget, man. Right after deer season, late February, I start catching fish in about 10 foot of water and less.
Yeah, that's just one of them things that makes you appreciate life. The fact that that picks up pretty much as soon as deer season ends, it gives you just enough time to catch your breath, and then you're right back to it, and then the fishing's going to be hot until it's time to go deer hunting again. So that's a beautiful
That's
thing
it, Nick.
about where we live. Well, man, always good having you on the show. Good to hear from you. If folks want to learn more about what you do there at Dippy Outdoors, where's a good place to learn about it?
Man, just I got my number on both pages. Dip Macmillan on Facebook, and like you said, Dippy Outdoors on Facebook. You can call me, send me a message, and we'll get back with you as soon as possible. Like I said again, man, before I get off here, I want to thank everybody that reached out to us here lately about growing Dippy Outdoors. It's been phenomenal, man. Please reach out to us if you need your kids in the outdoors. We're about to have some pheasant hunts coming up, pheasant and quail hunts coming up. Right after deer season, I got these guys just waiting to take kids on guided quail hunts, man. And my buddy gonna take kids on guided hog hunts. So you want to get these kids in the outdoor, please contact me, Dent Macmillan or Dippy Outdoors. We're gonna get these kids in the outdoors much as we can.
There we go, guys. If you got a kid that you're looking to introduce into the sport, go ahead, look him up. I can tell you, I've been on some Dippy Outdoors hunts as a guide, and it's always really well put together, really safe, really good environment. Everybody always has a good time, and it just seems like everybody's happy that they went, from the guides to the kids to the parents. It's a great thing that you do in Dip, and on behalf of the whole community, I thank you. If you get out there this weekend, brother, stay warm.
I appreciate you, man. Same to you, Nick.
And we're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode has been brought to you by L&M Marine. L&M Marine has something for everyone, from small hunting boats to pontoon boats to bigger bay boat and offshore hybrids. L&M Marine LLC prides itself on its customer service and knows how important it is to be taken care of and to have someone you can trust. They are locally owned and regularly support the surrounding community. L&M Marine provides superior customer service and has an entire team that consists of professional sales members, finance experts, service technicians, and a knowledgeable parts and accessories staff to fully support you. Go visit their friendly, reliable, and experienced staff today. L&M Marine is located 6 miles north of I-10 at 34600 Highway 59 in Stapleton, Alabama. You can also reach them by phone at 251-937-1380. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, don't forget to text that code ALFFR to 779-345-2918. Again, just text ALFFR, that's Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, to 779-345-2918. Subscribe to our email list and we'll send you the promo code via email. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by Dixie Supply and Baker Metalworks manufacture a variety of metal roofing systems to meet your needs. Whether you're putting a new roof on your home or sheeting a commercial building, they have you covered. Dixie Supply and Baker Metalworks, your metal roofing headquarters. Also brought to you by BucksIsland.com. Bucks Island has been in business since 1948 for all of your new and used boat needs, as well as motor sales and service, and now they have a pro-level tackle store. Boat and motor trade-ins are welcome. Visit them online at BucksIsland.com or give them a call at 256-442-2588. Also brought to you by, would your insurance cover an air ambulance in a medical emergency? Fact is, insurance often doesn't cover the full cost of medical flights, leaving you and your loved ones at financial risk. But with an AirMed Care Network membership, you can focus on recovery, not on finances, should the unexpected happen. AirMed Care takes care of everything, with no costs for flights when flown by one of their providers. Membership covers your full household and starts at $99 a year. Visit gdo.com/airmedcare to enroll.